You're listening to Spice Radio 1200 AM's The Morning Buzz with Minkiran Aujla, and we're talking about the 2024 federal budget. And we are now speaking to Bill Thielman, Westar Communications President and Political Analyst. Bill, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Always my pleasure.
Now, Bill, overall, what were your thoughts on this budget?
It was kind of a great big wow. You actually did that? You actually spent that much money and went that much further into debt and had that large a deficit again? And that's part one. Part two is, they announced, telegraphed, or more likely announced, most of the budget before Finance Minister Freeland got even up in the Parliament to announce it, directly. So we heard an awful lot about the housing parts and other parts, the national food program, school food program, $1 billion program. It was already announced.
That's true. And actually, based on, your experience, Bill, what did you make of that approach that the Liberals made, kind of in the lead up to this budget? They gave us kind of little teasers what was coming.
Yeah, well, it's funny, just stepping slightly back, Minkiran, to your other comment, is it an election budget or not? We don't know. And of course, it's a minority parliament, so every budget could be an election budget. But, in all likelihood, we're looking at another budget before the election next year. So it's an interesting one. But I think, there's so many different pieces to this, and clearly, they were shameless in aiming it at younger people. It was not a budget for people like me. It was a budget for people like you. But I don't know. Every time I see politicians chasing the youth vote, it usually fails, and for a number of reasons. It's usually the Green Party saying, we're going to get the young people to vote, and that's going to change everything, and they don't every time. But it's also, it's very hard to tailor a message to a single age demographic as opposed to targeting regions or targeting particular types of voters. So, I guess it remains to be seen. If the Liberals go up 10 points in the polls, A, they'll have done an excellent job, and B, I will be looking for a new one.
Well, and that's the part that really stood out to me in the announcement, was the fact that even, as Freeland was speaking, she was saying, hey, millennials and Gen Z, we see you, and we believe that the other generations need to help you. For me, that was very new. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, if you saw The Sixth Sense, you would say, I see dead people, too. I don't think that if you see those people, you shouldn't say you see them. It's that kind of a situation. But, every finance minister federally and most provincially have done a lot of polling and research behind the scenes, and they have tried to, also focus groups, and they've tried to game out what might possibly work. And so all the language was carefully chosen. There's no mistakes. This was an off the cuff. And, I think someone in the media did the analysis. The word fairness is mentioned something like 50 times in the budget speech. So, again, all these things are heavily researched and polled. That said, they obviously think that using that kind of language and that kind of approach can possibly turn things around with younger voters. And I'm not convinced of that at the moment, and certainly not with the polling numbers we've seen so far. I mean, the Conservatives are leading in all, just about all demographics, including women. So it's really, anything the Liberals can do to get any demographic going is, I guess, a good thing for them. But I just don't see how necessarily this works. On the other side, you're talking about, a massive, massive debt and deficit. And I think the number that struck me was the debt servicing charges are now larger on an annual basis than what the federal government puts into national health care programs, or the provincial programs across the country. So that's a really big number.
Mm-hmm. And, one of the things I'm noticing that a lot of people are talking about coming from this budget is they're saying, to help cover some of its multi-billion dollar commitments, the government is proposing a tax hike on capital gains. And I've noticed there's been a lot of reaction from the business community, but what do you make of this move?
Well, it is kind of a tax the rich, part two or part three or part four, depending on where you sit. I saw some outraged commentary from David Dodge, the former governor of the Bank of Canada and economist. But he is definitely of the very, right-wing school that you do certain things and eventually the results will trickle down to the peasants like you and I. So I'm not sure his criticism was completely correct. But, the idea, the criticism is that if you target rich people and people who run large corporations and target the corporations with corporate taxes themselves, they'll just leave or, lower their workforce and basically you stymie any economic growth. There is an argument there, to be sure, but I'm not sure that it's the right one. And I think one of the things I've seen as well is that the Canadian economy is doing not too bad, but the American economy is doing better, and they have larger per capita and per GDP person, a debt per GDP and deficit per GDP than Canada does. So they're spending more and they're doing better.
Okay. And then even the other thing that stood out to me, too, was the carbon rebate for small businesses. And I know that I was understanding that the federal government has heard quite an earful from the small business advocates who accuse it of basically they're not too happy with what's going on. So what do you make of also this move as well?
Well, it's an attempt to appease some, but I think we talked about this previously, but when the Canada Emergency Benefit was shut down or forced to be repaid by small business, that was the one I thought, if you want to ever influence small business in a positive way as a government, give them another extension. That was the program where if you borrowed money, you could keep up to $60,000, you could keep a third of it as a grant as long as you paid it back. And I know every business group that I know, particularly small business groups and restaurant associations, et cetera, said, please, please, please extend the deadline. We've just cut through COVID. Restaurants are suffering. Other small businesses are suffering. And the Liberals said, no, you got to pay it up. So that would be the one that I would have seen as critical to making a difference. I think it has been, somewhat well received, but I don't think that's going to turn the corner with this kind of a budget. I really don't see it. So, those kind of things are, they're better than nothing. And I saw some business groups saying they were pleased about it. But it's not, in the overall giant red wash of ink there, I don't think it's going to make a big difference.
And the other thing, Bill, I've kind of noticed, and I don't know if I'm missing something here, but did climate change, did anything about climate change come up in this budget?
Nothing that I can, off the top of my head, that I'm thinking of and looking at it. There's a lot of different pieces to this, and we've touched on some of them. I mean, I mentioned the National School Program, but this is not a climate change budget, to the best of my knowledge, or anything that I've seen on there. So it just doesn't seem to have hit the target for those environmental groups that were looking for something there. I mean, I think there's other things. There's more taxes on tobacco, no big surprise there. What else do we see here? Cell phone users, easier to switch, less financial penalties, an inquiry and some rules on selling tickets for concerts and sporting events, try and hit the scalpers, but I don't see the environmental piece there.
Yeah, no, definitely wasn't something that was the focus. And I mean, I get it. We are going through like a cost of living crisis. There is a lot happening that the government needs to tackle here. So I guess there's no surprises there. But what do you also make of the moves on housing that the Liberal government is doing too? Because one of the things I noticed is said that they're going to, convert, empty buildings, right? They're going to make it easier to build housing. So what do you think of that move?
Yeah, well, the Minister Jonathan Wilkinson from North Vancouver, the federal minister, has said bluntly, we borrowed it from David Eby and the NDP, so we've already seen it here, I guess. You would think that using empty buildings and vacant land wouldn't be something that would be hailed in 2024 as a giantly new idea, but that's apparently where we are. Depending on how they do it, it could be quite effective, but, and they're certainly spending like $8.5 billion on housing, but what they say is they will create 3.8, and maybe my math is wrong, but you can number crunch for me, 3.87 million new homes by 2031, so that's 7 years. If you divide it, that's 552,857 homes a year. Divide that by 365, that looks like 1,550 a day.
Wow.
So, I don't know how you do that. I mean, maybe I crunched the numbers slightly wrong, but 3.87 million over 7 years is an awful lot of houses.
That is a lot, because that is obviously the big issue. We're always talking about it, Bill. So what has been the reaction, though, from the other parties? Like, how is the NDP and Conservatives, how are they looking at this budget?
Well, the NDP is, number one, claiming credit for anything you like in the budget, and that's, they have some grounds to do so. Jagmeet Singh has been pushing Trudeau on certain areas, so some of the, some of the more progressive measures, I totally support the National School Food Program. We're one of the only G7 country without one. I work with the union that serves, it works with cafeteria workers and chefs on the Vancouver School Board. There's a, you know, a decent program there now, but it should be much better. And hungry kids can't learn. I mean, there's just no way around that. So that's a very positive piece. There's other things in there that are quite good, and I think the opposite, I mean, the NDP can claim credit for it. That's an argument to be had. The Conservatives, on the other hand, are just like, you know, absolutely aghast. I saw Pierre Poilievre, the opposition leader for the Conservatives, saying it. The pyromaniac Justin Trudeau is throwing gasoline on the fire he started himself. Kind of hard to see any nuance or positives in that statement. I think a little over the top, perhaps. But, you know, opposition opposes. I don't see there's an awful lot there. But, you know, I think some politicians want to run away from this one because there's just no apparent end in sight to deficits and debt. And I think for some people that's a big deal. For others, they don't care.
Right.
And I guess we're going to find out because BC has a very large deficit this year, and we have an election. So, you know, if that becomes an election issue and it's decisive, we'll know the federal Liberals are on the wrong track. I mean, it's kind of got what got them into power in the first place was promising to run deficits and, you know, get over the social and financial shortfalls, as they saw it, that Stephen Harper Conservatives had done. And they won the election coming from third place, but I don't know if it still applies.
That's right. There is so much going on here. And Bill, what's a rating that, you know, you would give the Liberals on this budget overall? Like, how do you think they handled this?
I don't know how they could actually have a really good grade on this one. You know, I'd say it's probably a C+. But if you have any concerns about deficit and debt, you know, it's a D- probably. So,
all right. Okay. Ooh. But you know what? It's a tough time. Honestly, to be in this position, it is not an easy one. But Bill, no. As always, appreciate your insights. You take care.
All right. My pleasure. Thanks.